One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I took my jacket off and I always hang it up because we have hooks and all the whole deal. I got up like 5 minutes later because I needed to go to the car with my keys. And I was like, where's my jacket? And I walked all around the office. I'm like, Jake, I'm losing my damn mind. I cannot find my jacket. He's like, well, you were wearing it just a little bit ago. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, then you went out there in the garage. I'm like, we scoured the office. And then I remembered I had the tile.
Oh.
And I stuffed it into a drawer.
What?
I was like, I don't remember putting it here, Jake. I was so out of it today.
I mean, proof of that concussion.
Oh, honey.
He let you go home early, right?
Yeah. Yep, he did. Yeah. On that note, soon we'll have an episode on near-death experiences. But today, we're talking about traveling. 2.0.
Take two. Whoop,
whoop, whoop. And I'm Matt.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is the Midwest Married Podcast.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of trips planned over the next few months for the traveling crew, which consists of us, one other couple, and then Sarah and Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are going next week to Sarasota, Florida. That's going to be a super relaxing trip. We don't do relaxing trips very often, but Sarah and I are both PAs, and so through our work we get to attend a conference, and being primary care, there's lots of places to choose from, and so we strategically pick someplace warm in a month that we want to get away from the cold, and this year it's Sarasota.
Thank you, work. We love you.
I get to also hang out with a couple PA school friends because they live in Sarasota now. So that'll be really good. So we're going to go to a conference. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn some stuff. We're bringing the hubbies because we're real nice. Mm-hmm. And we're having them come along to relax and enjoy the sun as well. And you guys are going to be, I don't know, doing your thing. But we go to the conference and then after
probably
that.
Work.
Brian has to work some too.
You guys will do some work remotely. And then in the afternoons after the conference, we'll go do fun things. We have a scuba diving in a river trip planned, and we have a fishing afternoon planned.
Yeah, like an inshore fishing, which means it's more like a catching.
Yeah.
They make sure you catch, not like deep sea where it's hit or miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
It'll be good.
It'll be good. Just a couple things planned, which is not like us, but I think will be nice.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because then we have our adventure trip planned. We're going to Portland and the surrounding area in the summer.
Yeah, we're going to road trip the state of Oregon, and then we're going to bounce up to Mount Rainier.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a lot of hiking on that. That's going to be more
busy.
An adventure trip. We've got, you know, you guys really plan that one out.
Yeah, like whitewater rafting, hiking. We're going to do wine tours. We're going to drive the coast. We're going to do hot springs. We're going to do all the things. All the things.
Yeah.
Yes.
And stay in really beautiful Airbnbs. And then also, we're going to like all stay in a big tent one night. That could be interesting. I don't know.
It's going to be fine. We're going to glamp. It's no different than a bunkhouse, right. Which if you hunt and you fish, it's standard.
But I kind of think you can't do like the beautiful Airbnbs all the time. You know, got to mix it up a little bit. It still looks
beautiful. It does. It's all of us in one big tent.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Well, one of the things that we had talked about was, and as we've gotten older and our kids are getting older, is do you bring your kids traveling? Mm-hmm. And think we've all done big trips with kids now, but there's going to be no kids on our trips, which is going to bring me into my first story.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. Am I the asshole for wanting to go on a trip of a lifetime without the kids?
No.
This is a throwaway account because my family members are on here. I, female 38, and husband, 40, have had a bad year. He had a major surgery, and I looked after our six-year-old and our two-year-old for the last 6 months while helping him recover and working full-time. My parents helped out from time to time, but they're in their 70s, so I only ever ask them to mind the kids maybe once a week and never for more than 2 hours at a time. A close cousin sent out a wedding invite last week. The wedding is next year on the other side of the world to us. A trip of a lifetime, basically. We decided we should treat ourselves for once and just go and do it. I told my parents that we were going, and they seemed happy for us at first. Then out of nowhere today, they called me. Apparently, my mother has been upset for days that we'd even consider leaving the kids and traveling so far away. They said they weren't up to minding them at all. I said we were never going to ask them to do that. We had other relatives already lined up. They said even so, they'd still feel totally responsible for them while we're gone. And if anything happened to them, we'd be too far away. They said we needed to rethink our decision. My sister-in-law would have happily taken them. She has kids the same age, and they adore each other. But my parents think our kids wouldn't be happy there, and ultimately, they'd end up looking after them anyways. I feel totally disrespected as a daughter and a mother. I was made to feel guilty for upsetting my mother and for considering leaving my kids for only a week. So, am I the asshole for considering going to this wedding in the first place?
Sarah, no. Take it away.
I mean, no. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what all of our answers are. And if, you know, people have watched other episodes or listened to other episodes, they know that we do this. I don't say like quite frequently, but at least a time or two every year. I think
we prioritize travel.
We do. And I think it's so important to prioritize time with your significant other, with your friends that are your tribe, that maybe, you know, a lot of the times you are spending time with all of the kids together and your families together. But I think it's so important to have that adult only time, and especially with your spouse. I feel like Brian and I connect so much more when we're traveling, whether it's just the two of us or with the whole crew. I feel for this mom 100%. I have had both my in-laws and even my mom at one point has made comments about how much we travel. And for my mom, it's not so much that we travel. It's the type of traveling that we do and some of the riskier quotations here for people who aren't watching, things that we choose to do while we travel.
Scuba dive,
you know, some of the hiking, some of the waterfalls Matt and I have traversed over the years in areas we're not supposed to be going to that make her nervous. So it's not so much the travel in and of itself, but the act of some of the things that we do. So that can be really hard because when it's something you need to recharge or that you need to reconnect with your significant other, to have somebody else kind of shame you for that, I think isn't fair.
Right. Then they're not seeing the value of the and or respecting the decision that you're making of like, hey, this is something that we want in our lives, that we need in our lives, that we feel is important. And like when you're making a decision like that, especially traveling is expensive. And so it's not typically something that is like entered into lightly. There's a lot of thought and planning and a process that goes into the preparation for those kind of trips. And so if somebody is just saying, oh, you know, it's not worth it, basically, or you shouldn't, it is a different mindset. Especially, I thought it was interesting that the parents who are kind of casting this judgment are not even the ones that they're asking to watch the kids.
Right.
They're just like, well, you know, it's not going to work. And so we're going to end up having to watch them anyway, even though they have other arrangements. So they don't even know that this is going to come to pass.
Right. And I feel like it's the parents' job to figure out who's going to watch their kids. And it feels like they had that all lined up and figured out before they even talked to the, you know, grandparents about it. And so then to be questioned is really hard.
I think it's the grandparents' anxiety. There's it's not really about them having to get stuck with it. I think they're like, you're going to go across the world. You're going to die. You're going to get mugged. You know, something else is like lingering, I think. But yeah. I totally agree. It's mm-hmm. their responsibility. They have the sister-in-law lined up mm-hmm. and they're kids. Mm-hmm. They'll adjust.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if they have young kids too, you know, it's amazing how when you put kids together that aren't siblings, how that can just go so, so well. And so it probably is a lot easier for the kids to go to the in-law or to the sister-in-law versus with cousins. The grandparents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it say where they're going or what they're doing?
So there is an update.
Okay.
Here's the update. Turns out that grandma had a full-blown panic attack mm-hmm. for those reasons. She's nervous about me traveling far away. She assumed that they would just take the kids for the week and was afraid she wouldn't be able to be up for it, which then also caused another panic attack. And she doesn't think the kids would be happy anywhere except their house. And she feels obligated to take them.
Hmm.
So.
Sounds like a her problem.
It sounds like a her problem. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
OP responded to this after reading many of the comments, saying she understood the anxiety around it, but it was her problem and not mine to fix.
Well, there
look
you
at
go.
That.
Sarah. Well, I think it's maybe not like hers to fix, but I do think, and this is the way that I've approached it with my mom, it's because I don't want to change my behavior, but her feelings are still her feelings. And I get why she's anxious. I'm anxious every time I dive too. And I've told these guys multiple times before, my favorite part of diving is when we're done. And none of us died and we're on the surface. And I'm like, wow, that was so, so cool. And it was such an amazing experience, but I feel so much better now that we're done. And so It'll get there. I'm really excited about this river dive. Cause I think it's going to be much less anxiety provoking cause it's not deep.
And maybe the Maldives on our 40th.
Yes. Hey. Or Bali. I don't know. I got ideas.
Bali.
Yeah. I got ideas, but, so I get that. And I think we shouldn't discount her mother's feelings, but I also think you still need to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also kind of wonder the generational differences, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up in a time where the first time I flew on an airplane was, I don't know, middle schoolish age mm-hmm. or whatever. The first time my parents flew on an airplane, they were probably, you know, minimum in their 20s or 30s, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so traveling for them when they were younger or our age, especially, was a lot less accessible mm-hmm. than it is nowadays, right? Like the world feels a lot more global and realistic mm-hmm. to go and visit some of these other places.
Mm-hmm. The ease of access is
for sure
way better mm-hmm. than yes. what it was.
Mm-hmm. Right. With technology and with where everything is. So they didn't have that opportunity. So she probably doesn't have the experience of ever traveling overseas. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's that fear of the unknown
mm-hmm.
that you have for somebody else, you know, because she would, with her anxiety and panic attacks, she's probably saying, well, I would never do it.
Mm-hmm.
We actually talked, your Morgan is going wedding dress shopping in New York mm-hmm. and Danette is, you know, your mom is flying out and Grandma Margaret was invited to go fly out too, but Grandma Margaret will not get on a plane.
There's so many people, especially of that generation, that won't. I mean, I think about like some of my patients where I talk to them about travel and ask them if they have anything fun and upcoming that's exciting. And oftentimes they're like, well, my family invited me to do this, that, or the other thing, but there's no way I'm getting on a plane. So I have to drive 16 hours or something to get to Florida. And I'm like, oh goodness, just get on the plane. I can give you some drugs for that.
I don't know. I don't know if you've watched the news lately, but they're crashing those things.
There was just another one in Toronto, like today, that like a Delta flight. And I'm like, oh, we fly Delta all the time. Like flipped over. Hey,
out of Minneapolis.
Oh, was it out of Minneapolis? No.
Yeah.
That's our airport. MSP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
wind gusts took it and flipped it.
But I don't think anybody got hurt on that, or like at least not died.
All 80 lived.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I think it wasn't like some of the other ones lately, but yeah, I just saw that too. Have your seatbelts on.
Securely fastened.
So just in general, planning a trip without kids, I think it's pro. If you can mm-hmm. find the time to sneak away with your spouse for a week, that's great. On the other hand, I think we are starting to get the age where we want to build those core memories
mm-hmm.
and give your kids something to remember. my boss always tells me this because he travels with his kids in road trips. He's a psycho.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Like 20 some odd hours. Oof. And he said, I'd rather spend my money on memories than things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've done that a lot too. And I think we've done more like Arizona because I have family that live there, or Florida because it's easily accessible. Instead of gifts for like Christmas and that kind of stuff, because I do think that's so much more important than things. Mm-hmm. And when you look back on my childhood, I can say, okay, this year my parents took me to Hawaii, and this year they took us to Florida for Disney, and this year we went to Washington, D.C. But traveling with your kids is a trip. It's not a vacation. It definitely changes the dynamic of things. And so as much as I think it's so important to have those things for your children, I also am really looking forward to the time when it becomes more of a vacation with my kids. And I think it'll get to that point.
We're just not there yet.
We're just not there yet. When they're preteen, teen, when they're like, hey, mom, I want to sit by the pool and just read a book or a magazine just as much as you do. And I don't want to go swimming or go to Disney World or this, that, or the other thing. Right. I think it'll be so much more fun. But I agree. Those core memories are really important.
So a part of this episode is I also grabbed some topics from different groups. Mm-hmm. This one came out of the parenting subreddit. I just realized vacation with kids is not a vacation for parents.
Amen.
No.
And it's two separate things. Honestly, I'm exhausted taking care of my kids on vacation. Mm-hmm. They're away from their toys and their stuff, which means I'm their toy. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of stuff to do, but honestly, I don't find the same things amusing as my kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure vice versa. I know there are hotels with childcare. Just realizing it took me this long to take my rose-colored glasses off and realize planning a vacation and paying for a vacation is filling my child's glass, but not mine. Mm-hmm. Anyone just realizing this? Sorry, it's just a bit of venting here, but nobody ever told me this. Why don't parents of older kids tell the parents of younger kids?
We're telling you.
We're telling you. Yes. I can relate with this so much, and I will tell you why. So my sister lives in Phoenix, so we visit her a lot because it's pretty cheap to fly from Minneapolis to Phoenix. And it got to the point where my kids were just terrors when we were down there. And I was like, what is the deal? We're on vacation. We're someplace warm. This should be fun. Well, Joelle doesn't have a pool that's heated in the winter. And if my kids can swim, they're happy, period.
Yeah.
And so they finally were like, Mom, we don't want to go to Arizona again because there's not anything that we really enjoy to do at Joelle's in the winter. And I was like, it clicked. And so we changed our mindset. And now we do these resort passes. So maybe you can get like resort pass to sponsor this episode because they are the most amazing thing on the planet. Do you know what they are? I talked to you about this.
Is it just where you can like use a pass to get into a hotel and go use the pool?
Yes. And so what we do when we go down to Arizona now is we buy resort passes. And so you can go. So we went to the Biltmore, Arizona Grand and Scottsdale Princess. Those were the three we went to this year. And basically you can buy like a cabana and you can get like so many people that get in with you for like $200-$300. And so there's like six of us. So when you spread that out, it's not that expensive. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you get waters or snacks or perks with it too. Yeah. And you get loungers and then you can swim. And so they can swim. And then on the days we do those things, I change my mindset that I'm going to be the fun mom. So if they want me to go to the wave pool, which I hate, but I do it. Or if they want me to go down the water slides, they had one of those ones where you stand on something and it drops out from you and you like, it's really scary. So I choose on those days to be like the mom that is the coolest mom. And it totally changed how our trips were.
Excellent.
I love that mindset change too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially even from going to like, okay, this is going to be a trip. It's not going to be relaxing for me in a vacation, but I'm okay with that. Right. Like it's going to be building up those core memories. You can enjoy it more when you have that outlook and that expectation versus, yeah, we're going on vacation. I'm going to enjoy this just as much as I enjoy the vacations that when we go to Portland or Costa Rica or wherever we go. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really,
it's setting up the expectation so you know what your purpose is. Your purpose isn't to really have the best time for you. It's to have the best time for your kids. And maybe you can still sneak away and have a half day or something. Brian and I always try to get a half day, just the two of us. But
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I don't know what the rest of your stories are going to be, but I was thinking about it earlier when you were talking about buying memories with like trips versus mm-hmm. buying things for your kids. We kind of gave that a try last year, which I absolutely loved. This was for kids' birthdays. Mm. So our kids are born April and May, like basically 2 years and 2 weeks apart, right? And so birthdays very close together also kind of makes it a little bit difficult for parties. Planning birthday parties, I do it. I've done it. It's not my favorite thing. So last year I said, hey, kids, you've had the big birthday parties. We can buy you a big birthday party if you want a big birthday party for your birthday. Or we could go on a family trip mm-hmm. together. And the trip wasn't even huge. We took them to the Great Wolf Lodge in Minneapolis, so a few hours away. Mm-hmm. And we got there, a hotel room there. We did the water park pass mm-hmm. and we stayed there. We got them out of school for a couple days and we did the family things and we did all the kid things mm-hmm. that they wanted to do. So we also took them to the Mall of America and did Camp Snoopy. And that
was not Camp Snoopy anymore.
Nickelodeon World?
Nickelodeon World.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. Nickelodeon World.
They're not going to sponsor you.
No. We are not big time enough for that. But it was so much fun. And we spent about the same amount of money that we would have on their two birthday parties than we did going to Great Wolf Lodge and the Mall of America. Mm-hmm. Also because we were able to scout out deals and we got, money off on the rooms mm-hmm. and whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. It's kind of backfired, though, a little bit now, because this year they want both.
Oh, no.
I know. Mm-mm. And I really loved it. So I really kind of want to do a little family birthday trip. But I mean, now I'm like, if they really want a kid's birthday party, maybe we'll do like a kid's birthday party at grandma and grandpa's house so you don't have to buy.
That's what I was just going to say.
All the things, mm-hmm. like a cheaper one mm-hmm. where they can still see all their little friends.
Mm-hmm. You have that such a great space that you can do it there and just have like family and your like adult friends that have kids over.
Yeah, except I think they want their school friends.
But you know what's nice about having school friends is then you don't really have to buy presents. Because even if you tell mm-hmm. them not to bring presents, they bring presents. And mm-hmm. then you just spend the money on the party and then you don't have to buy presents. That's the way I kind of look at it.
Boom.
Too.
Boom. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short is mother-in-law of the original story.
Mm-hmm.
She went around to the entire family and turned everyone against them. And they are no longer going on their trip.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
That's heartbreaking.
That is horrible. Okay. Mm-mm. Was it her mother-in-law or her mother?
Oh, her mother.
It was her mother.
Yeah, sorry. Her mother. Yep.
Oh, I feel for this woman so much. Eesh. I don't know if my mom did that. I'm not sure.
Here's the deal. Like, even if you're halfway across the world, there's still communication. Like, as long as you have a cell phone and are able to call and talk to somebody, what's the difference? Really between being in Europe versus California,
mm-hmm.
It's still going to take you however long to get back home. It probably, I don't know, maybe I'm really naive here, but like a 12-hour difference, I don't know, in flights. How long does it take to get to Europe?
I mean, depends on what part of Europe, but yeah, probably about 12 hours. I'm trying to remember back.
It's like 6 hours to get to California.
Yeah. I'm trying to think when we went, because normally you fly to the East Coast first and then you fly out. Although we did take some direct flights out of Minneapolis. I mean, it's definitely going to take you longer. But right. I even think about like when we're in the boundary waters, like we don't always have service when we're in the boundary waters and we're using satellite phones to check in the morning or at night. But we're not checking in and not available all day long by any means. So I feel like that would be really similar. And when we're in there, it would take us a day to get out, probably a lot of the times, might mm-hmm. be quicker to get back from Europe. And so I get that. I get that anxiety. And my mom definitely talks about that anxiety too. But one thing that I share with my mom is that I feel like she's the best person to watch my kids. Mm-hmm. And she feels that way too. And so we share that. And even though sometimes she feels a little stressed that we're going on these extravagant trips, she also is like, but I want to be the one watching them.
Yeah.
And so...
And you can say, Mom, I trust you. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to watch them because I trust your decision making.
Yep.
And so if anything were to happen, I know that you'd have their best interest in heart and they're still safe and they're, you know, it's going to be okay. So that's too bad that their family didn't have that mindset.
That's so hard.
Shucks.
Especially because it's like they don't support then her relationship with her husband. I know that that's not what she's saying in this by any means, but that's what I think about because it's so important to me and Brian to travel together.
That's what kind of fills your relationship.
It really does. It really does. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Did she say anything about her relationship with her mom since this or anything?
Nope.
I just would have a really, really hard time after that.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
Moving on. Oof. But everybody agreed.
Not the asshole at all. Right. Oof. Mm-hmm. I just want to hug her.
Yeah.
So, next story.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
A little different. Am I the asshole for ruining my friend's vacation? I, female, 38, just got back from vacation with two of my longtime friends, Kate, female 40, and Mary, female 38. I've known them both since university, and we've always been close. The three of us have been planning this Bali trip for a few months, along with our husbands and their kids.
Oh, that's where they went.
Interesting. The kids. Don't go to Bali with your kids. Maybe. Core memories.
Bali was a recommendation instead of Thailand, remember? I was like, Bali, it's...
Right. But for kids or for...
No kids.
Oh, no. Just for the 40th trip. Mm-hmm.
They both have children under 5, while my husband Jake, male 45, and I are child-free.
Oh.
Dinks. We agreed to split the cost of a 4-bedroom villa three ways, and everything seemed fine at first. Jake and I arrived in Bali earlier than the rest of the group because we had different flights. Once we got to the villa, we waited to choose rooms with our friends and didn't mind when they both chose the ones with en-suites. We had a great time during the trip. Jake and I did some couple activities, massages, hiking, dinner, but we also spent time with Kate and Mary and their families whenever it worked out for everyone. To be nice, I even surprised them with massages to give them a break.
Well, nice.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
The only thing that made me uncomfortable was that whenever I ordered a drink, a cocktail before dinner, or a glass of wine with meals, I'd get comments like, oh, you're drinking again. For context...
Cheers, babe.
I'm like, oh, they would not.
They wouldn't go along with our group
vacation.
If I wasn't concussed, I'd have... Cheers.
You can cheers with your sparkling water.
There you go.
For context, I'm a social drinker and don't drink often, but we were on vacation and I didn't think it was a big deal, especially since our husbands were drinking too.
Oh,
I just ignored the comments so I could enjoy the trip. On the last night, Jake and I made plans with the guys to go out, and Kate and Mary said they were going to stay in to pack. Jake convinced me to join him, and since it was the last night of our vacation, I didn't want to stay in either. We went out and had a great time. We got home at 1 a.m., and I passed out straight after. The next morning was a bit chaotic with everyone packing and checking out, but we all made it back home without any issue. We had booked business class seats back, so we were separated during the flight and said some quick goodbyes at the airport. A week after returning home, I got a long text message from Kate saying that both she and Mary wanted to reduce contact with me because I had ruined their vacation. They mentioned several things, like me drinking every night, that I wasn't acting like a girl's girl, that I booked different flights, didn't hang out with them enough, and that I was selfish for not helping with their kids. She even said I was just focused on partying and not acting my age.
Oof.
This really hurt me. I cried after reading it and honestly don't know what to think. I thought I was just enjoying my vacation, but clearly they had a very different view. I haven't responded yet, and my husband has been asking me what's been bothering me, but I don't know what to say. Am I the asshole for how I acted?
Oof. So my initial thoughts are like, I really want to find a reason to feel solidarity with these mothers because I'm a mother.
Yeah.
And I agree that can be really, really hard. But if I was traveling with a single person, or like not single, but like somebody who doesn't have that responsibility, and I think of my sister, like I would never expect somebody who doesn't have kids to not drink because my kids are there, as long as they weren't getting plastered, right? In front of them.
Right. And or being like, inappropriate.
Right. Or expect them to stay home when the guys are going out. Now, do I think it's maybe a little bit of a dick move that the dads left the moms to stay home and pack if there was really, because as having a family with kids, there is a lot more that you need to like pack and get ready to bring home for a trip. So like, I get that, but I don't think that there, any of that is on this other woman who's their friend. I really would love to find solidarity with these moms, but I don't find it. At least with the story that we're hearing.
Right.
One side, right? But
the way that she wrote it, it doesn't really feel like she's drinking to excess.
Right. Social drinker.
Right. And, you know, having a glass of wine with supper or, I mean.
Nothing wrong with that.
Right. And typically you think about vacations, okay, like if you got your kids, you still got to put them to bed. The adults are still going to hang out. Well, you know, also if the kids are in bed and they have a cocktail, like a nightcap, then also who cares, right? Like, I don't think she's the asshole. No. From the way that she's written it, I don't think that she, I think she's very kind and also splitting it three ways and the not taking a cheaper portion for the Airbnb because they didn't get an ensuite and really they are not requiring another bedroom for themselves, right? That's kind of like chipping into the
It really is. When we travel
family trips
with my mom and my sister, we get four bedroom places and we pay for half of it because the girls take a room, we take a room, and we always get the master then. So Brian and I always get the master with the ensuite. Most of the time, Joelle then gets the second nicest room and my mom gets the room by the kids, but she wants that. So it's Mama fine. D. But no, like I thought that was really stellar of them to offer to pay a third, a third, a third for sure.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm with you guys and I agree on all your points, but I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here.
Let's hear it.
So OP planned the trip with the two girlfriends. It was the three of them that planned it. Yes, it was a like a family vacation, but I also am thinking, okay, if we were all together, like our group, like we're super close and kids don't bother us and I don't mind just going back to the house or the hotel room and put the kids in one room and we all sit around and drink wine. Like if for whatever reason we went on a trip and there were other kids and for some reason our kids were obligated to be somewhere else, I don't think Amy and I would be like, yeah, we're going to go out and not hang out with you on the last night we're in Bali. Like maybe these girls, Kate and Mary, were... they had different expectations. Maybe it was like, oh, we're going to reconnect. We're going to have all this great conversation. And it was really more of like a vacation for you where it was a trip for us.
Right.
And, you know, maybe a little envy there, a little jealousy.
Oh, for sure.
And they could have been like, no, you need to come like hang out with us. We'll have wine. But it doesn't seem like they made the effort either. So I don't know. I get it, but not the asshole.
No.
But maybe she should have been like, yeah, maybe you guys just go and I'm going to hang out with the girls and their kids. And
I think there should have been those expectations set up on the front end then.
100%.
You know, if that wasn't what the trip was all about. And again, we don't know that. They planned it together, but how was it planned? And I also think it's not fair then for the guys to be able to go out and just the women to stay back. I go back to that a little bit as well. When we have talked, because we've talked a lot about planning an all family trip, which would mean 6 adults and
seven kids.
And when we've talked about it, we've talked pretty seriously about bringing another adult with us, whether it's one of the grandmas or one of your cousins to like come with the expectation that there will be several nights where we're going to, you know, either we'll get the kids, you know, winding down for the night and you'll put them to bed, or you'll be watching the kids while we then go out as adults. So I think you need to set up those expectations really early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And that's true of any trip. And I think we talked about this a lot the first time we talked about travel, is really understanding what everybody's looking for and wanting to get out of the trip. Is this an adventure trip? Right. Is this Costa Rica or the Pacific Northwest or Hawaii when we did Hawaii? Or is this just going
on the beach,
right, to Florida or Mexico, all inclusive, where we just sit and drink? And not that we drink all the time, guys, but sometimes when we go on vacation,
it's nice to have a beer here and there,
right? And just like read our books all day long. Like we, meaning Amy and me and Krista, have now started a new tradition where we go visit my sister in Arizona once it starts to get warm, and we literally sit by her pool like 12 hours out of the day and read. And that's all we do.
It's beautiful.
And we drink wine. We might go shopping. We might go out to eat.
Go to a coffee shop.
We might go for a bike ride. Maybe. Yeah. And it's been really, really lovely. Yeah. But I think having the expectation of what the trip is about.
So here's what I wonder then, going back to our previous conversation about trip versus vacation. Mm-hmm. I wonder, especially they're going to Bali. When you think about Bali, I think about relaxing in a beautiful environment. Just like, oh, what if the two moms versions of this vacation and expectation in their brain was that they were going to vacation, but they brought their kids, mm-hmm. and thus it became a trip. Mm-hmm. And so, meanwhile, and maybe they were taking on more of the workload because it sounded like the men were all having drinks in the evening as well. Mm-hmm. And so maybe for them, it was more of a trip because they had to watch their kids versus it kind of was more of a vacation for OP because mm-hmm. she didn't have kids and didn't bring them. I'd also like to point out, like, if you don't have kids, sometimes you don't really know how to help other people with their kids. Right?
I don't think you don't get it. And it's not against anybody who doesn't have kids. It's just until you have kids, you just don't get it. And so I'd really love to hear from the point of view of one of the moms.
Yeah.
I really would.
And if you don't know how to help, how do you help?
Right.
Yeah. Children under 5 in Bali seems like a disaster to me, mm-hmm. but OP did tell husband, that was the update, and husband has her back.
Oh, good.
And mm-hmm. top comment by the people, definitely not the asshole.
Yeah.
They must be joking. You go on right. holiday to enjoy things, food, beverages, experiences. Yep. They're just jealous. Mm-hmm. One of the next top rated comments was, why are the fathers of the children not expected to help with the child care and stay in?
Double standard.
This is sexism perpetrated by women.
Oof. Well, we don't know. That's a hard comment.
The internet.
I'm going to not comment.
So there we go.
You know, I think one of the things that they kind of mentioned is that fact that it's just so hard when you just don't know what you don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one.
All right. So, story, topic, mm-hmm. story, new topic.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Under the travel subreddit is, parents, how did you adapt to travel with children?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
We adore travel. I would go so far as to say that I'm personally addicted. I get so much pleasure
ding, ding.
By exploring a new destination, seeking new adventures, appreciating new mm-hmm. cultures. Mm-hmm. We usually travel around 6 places a year on average.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's not
bad. That's impressive.
I wish I could.
some usually smaller European trips, and 1 to 2 bigger long-haul road trips.
But maybe they're like
maybe
from
they
here.
Live in the yeah. European yeah. area.
So we are getting married this year and are planning to have a baby next year. We feel as ready as we could be, and we're excited to adapt to our life raising our little bundle of joy. I really appreciate that our lives will change, but I would love to hear perspectives in terms of how you made travel still happen. It's important for us, so I'd like to try and still prioritize travel and starting our family.
I think this is great. And Sarah, I think you have done a better job than we have, because we really just took our very first family vacation this past year, and our kids are 5 and 7. And before that, I took Emmett to Washington, D.C. when he was 3 months old, but that was kind of it.
How'd that work out at the airport?
That is a story. All right. Well,
I think you should tell it.
Here we go.
I think you need to be able to adapt to all sorts of situations.
All sorts of situations. Here's a situation that you might want to adapt to. So Emmett was 3 months old. I had just came back from maternity leave. And at that time, I started a new kind of admin role with my job as a PA. It's a super cool role where I get to support new NPs and PAs in their first year during clinical practice, and it's super exciting. So we were going to a conference about kind of this and kind of leadership within PAs and NPs, and it was in Washington, D.C., and I was traveling with my very new boss. Her name is Christy, and she's fabulous, and I love her, but I had just barely met her. And because Emmett was 3 months old and I was still nursing, I brought my mom with, and I was like, "Mom, you can, you know, it's going to be great. We're staying right at that hotel while I'm at the conference. And when I need to nurse, I'll just pop up to the room. We'll nurse, you can watch Emmett, and then, you know, I'll be able to just go back and forth." Great plan. So we fly out of teeny tiny Duluth Airport, and it's winterish, or there was some weather thing that was going on. Fog, I think,
it's
was the problem.
Fog.
It's always fog.
It's always fog.
And we got to Chicago, our layover, because the thing is, from Duluth to Chicago to beyond is like literally their marketing or something for the airport. And we got to Chicago, and there was no way that we were making our connecting flight from Chicago to Washington, D.C. because of that delay from Duluth to Chicago. And so that meant we were there at like 11 p.m. and our next flight out was not until like 6 in the morning or something. Oof. So we were in this situation where our car seat was checked. And so we could go all the way through security to get a car seat, to get a cab, to go to a hotel, to spend like legit 3 hours before we had to come back. Like, we decided it wasn't worth it, right?
Right.
So we were going to stay in the airport. And in the airport, they had a whole bunch of cots lined up in a hallway, right? And I am here with my brand new boss and my mom and my 3 month old. And I'm like, how are we going to like sleep here? What is this situation? So I go and I chat with one of the airport people, and I'm like, you know, I see the cots there. Do you have any sort of sleeping arrangements for my 3 month old baby? And their response was, nope. You know what you can do? You know, you can just sleep on the cot with your baby. These cots are so teeny tiny and skinny in a hallway with a whole bunch of strangers. Like, I was like, do you have a cardboard box? No, nothing. So what we ended up doing was we found the lactation room. And luckily there was one, and we set up shop in there. I dragged a cot in. I dragged a cot in for my boss and my mom. We all did. And we locked the lactation door and had anybody come a knock, and we would have, you know, opened it up and welcomed any other mamas in there.
For sure.
But set up basically a co-sleeper with a chair next to the from the lactation room next to the cot, slept like with my hand, like half slept, you know, with my hand on him the entire time, because like, well, what else are you going to do? So I got to know my boss real fast. And
She's fabulous.
Though. She is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. We love her.
We do. And yeah, she's still my boss as of today, 5 years later.
And a good friend.
Mm-hmm. And we made it to DC, and actually the flights were fine. Like, he was a champ. It was a great situation as far as like, I'm glad we went, but sleeping the night in the Chicago airport with a 3 month old and like not expecting to have to do that, was a little difficult. Thank God I was nursing. Can you imagine being a formula mama and like not being prepared for that?
Not having enough with you. That's what I was just thinking. Like, did you have enough diapers? Did you have enough wipes? Like, that's what I would think about. I'd be like, oh my goodness, so do I prepare for this? Because I probably wouldn't have.
We luckily did, but I mean, we might not have.
So I loved that you were like, Sarah, answer this question. And I was like, damn, I really want to hear the responses because I'm not sure I have a great answer. I mean, we've done a little bit of travel, but I feel like we've done like baby travel with the kids. We've gone to Arizona. We've gone to Florida. You know, we've gone places that were easy to get to. They weren't far away. I think the only big tip that I have is like preparing as much as you can with when you're flying with when they're little, with things for them to do on the plane and lots of snacks. I once had a situation, and it was during COVID, when COVID was still pretty strong, where I dumped out all of our water bottles before I got on the plane and didn't refill them. And then I forget if it was Cleo or June that was sitting next to me that was having a hissy fit that they were thirsty. And it was well before the stewards were going to come down the aisles. And I had this young woman sitting next to me who had to have been in her 20s, who was so sweet and shared her water bottle with us, like screwed off the top of her water bottle so one of my kids could drink out of their water bottle.
This brings up a new question.
It was so sweet.
I mean, I also think that traveling will either bring out the best in humanity or the absolute worst in humanity. I think that there have been both sides of the coin there.
But I think preparing as much as you can and then also like changing that mindset for me was the thing that made our trips work so much better, and making sure that we had enough things planned that the kids were excited about really helped to make the trip a success. Because when we didn't have that planned, it was really painful.
Yeah, I would just say set your expectations differently. I was going to say you probably won't be able to accomplish as much as you wanted to before. You're going to be slowed down. So just plan accordingly and just expect that this is a trip. It's no longer a vacation. And when they're so young, though, I think, you know, they're just in a backpack or a little carrier. You can still go out and do all the things. But once they get to walking, toddler age, yeah, it changes, definitely.
Easier when they're babies, a little harder when they're toddlers, then a little easier again when they can focus on a screen.
Yes, that makes a huge difference.
And watch movies on the plane.
Do you guys want to hear one of my proudest moments traveling with kids?
Okay.
Yep. And I mean that totally facetiously.
Oh, man.
And then I do have a question for you in regards to the story you just told.
Well, why don't you ask me that question first?
Okay. So I had a situation on the airplane. We're on a Delta flight, and Nate, who has been on episodes in the past, he is a platinum 100,000 time X, get all these vouchers. And he's like, hey, what are you doing right now? I'm like, just sitting here waiting because I just got back from Mexico a couple days ago, and he's like, here, have a drink on me. Sends me a voucher for a free drink.
My sister does that for me all the time.
And then he's like, and hey, here's one for Pete. And I'm like, all right, cool. Pete, we just got on this flight, but
let's hit it.
Here you go. And Nate's like, have you got your drink yet? I'm like, no, they haven't walked by. He's like, you know, there's a press call button. And I said, Nate, honestly, I've never pressed.
No.
Ever.
I don't want to inconvenience the stewards.
And by this point, I had entered Pete into the conversation. Pete. Bing! Just
said, he's like, I want my drink, damn it.
But I don't know why. I just I don't want to inconvenience these people.
For sure.
And Nate's like, it's what they're there for, to serve you.
But I feel like they have like their things that they have to do like up until that point. I've only pushed the button once, and it was after they did one of those. Is there any medical professionals on the plane? They were looking for antibiotics. A woman had like a UTI or something, but I've never pushed it. But my sister also gives me vouchers because she travels a lot and gets a lot of those fun things from Delta, and I don't because I'm not that cool.
Yeah. Someday. But,
okay.
Someday.
You guys want to hear my story?
Yep.
Okay. So when my girls were little, so I have twins. When they were little, I had this breastfeeding pillow and it was large. It like wrapped all the way around me. I could breastfeed both of them at the same time, but it was like a situation.
And like $100 plus pillow.
Yeah. I mean, it was $100 probably.
Yeah.
And so we flew Allegiant, which is like one of those like Frontier or
Spirit
or something like that. One of those like economy lines, mainly because they flew out of St. Cloud, Minnesota, which, and I think they still do, which is where my mom lived at the time. And so it was easy for us to fly. And it was, I guess my mom would have had her place. And I'm not sure why we were flying. But anyways, we were flying out of St. Cloud. And so I called St. Cloud and was like, hey, I have this breastfeeding pillow. Does it pay for me to just buy one when I'm down there? Or can I check it for free? Because it's considered like medical something equipment that I need. Exactly. And the St. Cloud people like were like, yep, it's fine. No big deal. I brought in my big bag. They checked it for me. So then we were in Arizona and we went to visit my mom. So she was living there at the time and we all got sick. We all had like norovirus or something. So all of us were sick.
That's awful.
And then we got to the airport to head back home. I had like Tylenol and ibuprofen that I was like bringing on the plane, the liquid stuff for the kids because they weren't feeling well, but we weren't puking anymore. So that was good. And the lady at the check-in counter was like, ma'am, this isn't considered medical equipment. You can't check this for free. So then I like unzipped my big checked bag and was trying to like squeeze it in there and it was not going. And by then I had like had enough. I was done with this vacation. I was done with this trip. And I looked at the woman. I said, just throw it away. Just fucking throw it away. And the woman was like, ma'am, stay calm. And I was like, just throw it away. And she was like, we're just going to check this for free for you. And I was like, thank you. But yeah, this is probably one of my proudest moments of travel because I'd had enough. And so I don't think I have any advice to give for this person on how to travel with kids, because I think you just like you can plan for everything. And that was my piece of advice, was plan as much as you can. But there's always going to be something, because I called and I talked to so many people and they were like, it's fine. Yep, you can bring it. Mm-hmm. And then you get the one person who just maybe
hard stop,
doesn't know or doesn't get it. Yep. And it can just make you swear at a poor person because I'm not normally one to swear at somebody who's trying to help me. But
well, when I was pumping, I had an attendant who questioned my second bag. It was for my pump. And they were going to say that that wasn't medically necessary. Mm-hmm. And I think that we just
Was with you.
I think you, yeah.
And I think I also threw a fit.
I think we both kind of were like, do you want to know what happens to a nursing mom when she cannot nurse or express that milk? Mastitis. So that's what happens. Infection, very awful pain. And so they let me take that on and they were okay with that. So yeah, stand up for yourself. There's a thing. If you're like, I need this for this reason for my child or myself,
there's laws in place to protect that. Yes.
Stand up for yourself. Don't be scared if you're a nursing mom to go travel. It's going to be okay. I definitely froze a whole bunch of breast milk and brought it back and forth. And they just want you to have like one that's thawed so that they can test it and make sure it's not a bomb or something. And then the rest, as long as it's frozen, is okay to bring through security. But they all, you know, they check it and whatever. Another couple thoughts and couple, here's some tips traveling with kids. Strollers are free and car seats are free to check.
Correct.
Typically, right? And if you have a car seat and you have it in a car seat bag, we haven't done this, but Krista has done this where like she's going to Florida or somewhere, checks the car seats, puts the life jackets, the puddle jumpers, because those are huge, right? You put the puddle jumpers into the car seat and
put as much as you want in there.
Yeah. And they will then check that.
We did have a car seat that broke once when we traveled on the way home, luckily not on the way there. And we got paid back for it. I put in a claim and they paid us back for the whole car seat.
Nice.
Because car seats are expensive.
They are expensive. I think I actually was able to fix it though and just pocketed the money. But it did break a piece off. But I was able to fix it.
All right.
Next.
Here we go.
Next. Let's do it.
Another story. Here we go. This is in the am I overreacting? Am I overreacting for wanting to travel without my husband?
No.
And we're going to talk about that on a girls trip episode.
Well, I mean, I think that's important too. I love to travel with my husband. It brings us closer, but I also think it's really important to travel with your girlfriends. We do that too. He also goes fishing and hunting without me. So,
and Matt went to Mexico. So
there.
I hate girls trips so much.
Why?
You know why?
It's because
you
have to take care of the kids.
No, it's because he wants to be with us. He wants to come with, and he feels FOMO when he's not there.
I get that.
Is that the reason?
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. I know him. Sorry. That was a very strong reaction, but it was my initial reaction. I felt like I gave my initial reaction to the other one, so I had to do it to this one too.
I have taken a liking to traveling far away. Alone. And by far away, I mean a 2-hour flight to where my brother lives from Idaho to Arizona.
Not far.
It's been a thing now where when I travel to Arizona, I go alone. I find my flight and I get picked up. I navigate the trip alone. It makes me feel like I have some independence and control over my life.
Absolutely.
And I find joy in that.
Excellent.
For context, I live on a family compound with my husband's family.
Hell yes, I'd be like, I am out of here.
I mean, I basically have a family compound here down the road with my family, just down the road, but it's my family, so mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
I'm talking parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, extended families, kids, all live within the same 50 acres.
That's a lot.
So
that is more of a compound than what we've got going on. Yep. Okay.
So when I take my trip to Arizona alone to see some of my own family, mm-hmm. who all live very far, some in other countries entirely, I get joy out of going alone and escaping the day-to-day of running into my in-laws every time I go outside. Today, I mentioned wanting to take a trip to Arizona alone, and my husband got so ticked off, calling me all kinds of names, telling me to shut up. Which is all normal day-to-day stuff with him.
That's not okay.
Normal day-to-day stuff?
That's not normal, honey. That's not normal.
But he said he now has a job that he could take the time off and that he wants to go too. And I said, I don't want you to come. I want to take this trip alone to feel independent.
Well, and if he's calling your names, I don't blame you.
I wouldn't want to take him either.
He said, I do this all the time, so it's not fair that I would go somewhere without him. The only place I go alone is to the gym for 2 hours, 3 times a week.
Good for you.
I know.
That's impressive.
I don't think I'm being unreasonable in wanting to take a trip 1 time a year alone, away from my husband and his family that live on the same property, to prove that I can do things alone and feel a sense of independence that I feel like I've lost since being married. Mm-hmm. And just an update, I am not religious and neither is my husband. But we both come from strictly Mormon families. Mm. We have our own house on the property, but the other house is where the rest of his family shares, and that's across the driveway.
Oh, that's a lot of people in one house.
Mm-hmm. And the two neighboring houses also belong to his family. Mm. I'm going to take the trip and try to have better, clear boundaries for myself.
Yeesh. So, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I think she should absolutely do it, but I think, and I hope that her husband will be able to understand her why. Mm-hmm. If you like sit down and have like a really calm conversation about it and ask him, okay, what are you trying to accomplish by coming with to the family? Like, that's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. What does the husband want to go just because, as she said, he says, it's not fair that you get to go, because mm-hmm. that's not a real reason, right? Nope. Then if you want fairness and equality, equity, then plan your own trip by yourself.
Yep.
Go do a
plan a trip with your wife for the two of you. Don't try to hijack her trip.
Yeah. Do mm-hmm. something else. Mm-hmm. So like, because her reasons are very much, I want to prove that I can still be my own person and do my own thing and go see my own family by myself. I think that that's fine and fair. If he's like, I really want to see your family. I've missed them. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we are with my family all the time. I'd really love to do that together. Like, well, maybe she'd come around to that. Maybe be like, okay, well, this time, mm-hmm. maybe that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But if it's to just sever her ability to have her independence, I don't think that that's healthy. And really the name calling, not okay.
Not okay.
That's a big red flag right there.
The name calling and the fact that she feels like she needs to do this to prove her independence to me is like,
Raises a question.
It raises a question. Now, we obviously were not raised Mormon, and I think there's a lot that goes into that and a lot of beliefs. And even if you're not practicing Mormon, because she said she's not religious anymore, like I still feel like a lot of that sticks with you because I was raised very Catholic. And although I don't still practice that, I think some of it still sticks. But it still raises red flags all around. But if she feels like she wants to travel by herself and this is something that's important to her, then a good husband would support that.
Yeah.
But then also I'm like, dude, if you have the time to now be able to travel, plan a trip for the two of you that's not to go visit her family, that it's just the two of you to go on and plan something like romantic. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's going to probably be way more meaningful for both of you than going to visit her family. Not that going to visit her family might also be something that you, the two of you should do together if you haven't seen them in a while, but don't hijack her trip.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of animosity can come when you're planning a trip to do it one way and then all of a sudden it goes a different way or somebody else jumps in and wants to do something completely different. It can make travel really hard. Mm-hmm. You have to be on the same page and they're not. So I wouldn't travel together.
Going back a little bit to the independence thing, it could be a red flag, but I also kind of relate to that a little bit because I had feelings. I have a lot of family around, mm-hmm. right? I know that if my car breaks down and I'm stranded, I can call probably 10 people and mm-hmm. someone is going to answer and I will sit in my car and someone will come and they will change my tire or they will help me get a tow or mm-hmm. they will do whatever needs to be done because I know that I've got that system of backups. First, I'll probably call maybe Matt, but maybe also my dad first.
Not true.
Well, you know, guess who's on my list? Because when I had my little thing, when I was driving, guess who was very close on my list? It was like, my husband, and then it was you guys.
And then it was me. Then you called me.
Oh, it was my husband, and then it was you. And then guess who saved me?
Matt.
It was Matt. And then I probably would, if like I had a car issue, I'd probably call your dad.
Yeah.
I think I have your mom's number somewhere. Yeah. She'd get me in touch.
So anyway, I've got this whole list of things. So I have that, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a privilege. Wonderful. Not everybody has that, but I have so much like of a safety net that when I moved to Florida and I truly experienced not having that safety net nearby and that family, I gained such a sense of independence to realize that I could do, like, even if I was in some sort of emergency situation, not emergency, but you know, one of those instances,
a stressful
mm-hmm. instance, I could change my own tire or I could call AAA or I could figure it out on my own or I could lean on friendships that I had made mm-hmm. from brand new from scratch. You know, mm-hmm. when I had driven over a median and I thought that my car was like that I broke it and I was leaking something. I had my friend Jeremy. Happy birthday, Jeremy. It's your birthday today. And we're going to see you in a couple weeks.
Boop, boop.
Came and crawled under my car and was like, no, Amy, that's just your air conditioning and the normal, like, distract from your air conditioning.
Welcome to Florida.
I also called the median, the meridian. I don't know. It was stressful. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I understand, like, if you have so many people around you that you can call on if you need help, leaving that and like kind of testing your independence a little bit, testing things that put you outside of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. I think can be a really healthy thing. So it doesn't necessarily mean that I think it could be a yellow flag.
Well,
it could just be a positive
thing. I think that's a really good take because I think we in this table sitting here are very comfortable with travel and are very lucky that we have traveled a lot. But I think that brings up a very good point that maybe a lot of people aren't, right? Not everybody travels multiple times a year or even multiple times in a decade. And so I think that brings up a very good point.
So I'll chime in.
Yes. Let's hear your advice or point.
Is she overreacting? Yeah, probably not. Being told to shut up. That's not real great either. And that's kind of a big deal. If it's like a day-to-day thing and how you're being treated, not great in my opinion. if you could just take that one piece out, like, bloop, if okay, you yep, hadn't we told us that. That.
Mm-hmm. And that he was calling her names.
Bad.
Bad.
Had you left that mm-hmm. part out as well.
Yes.
I think, okay, I get it. Maybe this husband is sick of being on the compound as well mm-hmm. and wants to get away. Mm-hmm. And hey, this is a great opportunity for us to finally, now that he has this new job, be able to travel together and mm-hmm. feels a little neglected by his wife.
Maybe. That's a fair feeling.
That's again, like the why. I want to know his why. Mm-hmm. Does he just want to go because he thinks it's not fair that she gets to go? That's not a good enough why for me.
Yeah. The name calling yeah. in.
If he wants to reconnect, right. spend some time, just the two of them. Great.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was set up for failure with some of those other comments, but I agree with you, Matt. Like,
what do the people say?
Yeah.
People really latched on to the name calling.
Right? See, we did too.
Don't name call your partner.
I've never called Brian a bad name. Don't accept
your partner name calling like, you either.
Baby or babe.
Well, that's a nice thing.
I know.
That's endearment. That's a term of endearment. That's okay.
It is okay. He gets real mad when I call him dude, though, because sometimes I call the girls a dude because they've started to call people dude. And he's like, don't call me dude. I'm like, I'm sorry. Don't call your significant other dude.
Living in Idaho on a compound with husband's entire family. That alone sounds like a situation. I, my dear, would be buying a one-way ticket.
Oh, well, I don't think that's fair.
You're not overreacting, and the way your husband speaks to you perhaps deserves a one-way trip for you.
Oh, the one-way.
There's a lot of one-way again. Trips. Yeah, you just kind of glanced over. Yeah, he's verbally abusive, but it's no biggie. OP, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
See, we were not wrong to latch onto that.
I think it really skewed how we felt about the entire situation, which is not wrong.
Blink twice if you're in a cult.
I mean, we could call our like Kona crew a cult a little bit, but it's a good cult.
No, so everybody's on the same page. I didn't have another topic that didn't revolve around kids.
Well, we don't need to be around kids. So do we have one that's not kids?
Well, actually, I do have a topic.
Okay.
We've never taken a cruise, have you?
No, we were just talking about this on the way home from our meeting.
And how we thought, wouldn't it be fun to like work on a cruise ship because Sarah's... cousin.
Yeah. I have a cousin who's also a PA, who is the whole reason why I became a PA. And she recently did a semester abroad. So she works as a PA at a college and runs their health services. And she has been signing up or applying for this semester at sea is what they call it. Where basically you ride for a whole semester on a cruise ship and they went all over and you can bring your family. And she worked on it as a PA. As like their health services there. And I was like, that would be so, so cool.
That would be fun.
But then I also realized that I've never taken a cruise and I get horribly motion sick. So it might not be the best plan. Because mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to apply. I'm just going to apply and see if I make it. And then I was like, I should probably take a cruise first.
Maybe.
Because I've never done
test it. Test it out.
I should test it.
Yep.
All right. Am I the asshole for abandoning my parents at an island in the Caribbean?
Oh.
So I could get back to the cruise on time.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Okay.
So this is a pretty short one. But
answer.
What do you guys think? Long story short is they're on a week-long cruise and parents wouldn't leave the excursion to make their cruise on time. I said it was time to go and they just stayed busy shopping along the way as we walked back, bargaining with locals. And I finally said, I'm headed back to the ship. And Mom just waved me off. Well, sure enough, they missed the departure by a lot.
Whoopee.
By like 45 minutes.
Oh, whoopee. Man.
They wanted to know why I didn't wait for them or stop the boat. Yeah. Like I'm going to inconvenience 4,000 people because you two couldn't understand what a schedule was.
Well, isn't it the whole thing like with a cruise too? Like I've done research because I really want to try this someday. That it's like if you're not there when they leave, like there's no waiting. They don't wait for nobody.
They're gone.
They're gone.
So poor OP, parents are pissed off that they didn't wait for him and left them behind. And now they won't talk to him.
Oh, no.
Yeesh. That would be really hard.
Oof. I don't think so. I kind of think that they're adults and mm-hmm. he made his adult decision and the parents made their adult decision and they maybe felt a little entitled really bothers me when people feel like they can inconvenience other people. Like, oh, everybody, the boat will just wait for us for 45 minutes.
Agreed.
Right? While we shop and they had no consideration for everybody else. So that I don't think it's hard. I think that the parents are in the wrong and they just need to like suck it up and realize that they made a mistake. They made their bed and now they have to lie in it.
So we have traveled with my mom to Europe now. Just the one time? Twice. So Joelle and I took my mom to London. She paid for most of it. So she kind of took us. But then we also went with Brian to Belgium, France, and Amsterdam. Traveling with your parents is, again, a little bit of a trip. And not as much of a vacation. So my favorite story about traveling with my mom is we were all sitting down to get like a eat. We were getting like a snack or something and Brian ordered a beer. I think he was the only one of us that all ordered a beer. And my mom grabbed it and took a swig out of it before Brian even did. And he was so mad. But my mom sometimes can be one of those people that will inconvenience others like you talk about without even maybe even realizing that she's doing it. Because she's just so like, just doesn't get it. Because I don't know if it's a generational thing or what, but like, I feel for this person because it can be really hard to travel with your parents. Had I had like two people together, like I would never leave my mom by herself, right? So had this been my situation and my mom was by herself and she wasn't coming, I would have never left her. I'd been like, well, fuck, I'm missing this boat because I can't leave my mom by herself.
You probably would have grabbed her hand dragged her ass back to the boat is what you would have done.
This is also true. But had I had either like my parents were still together or my mom and my sister were being pokey, I would have been like, peace. You do you. Me and Brian, we're going to the boat because I am like the most on time person and I don't want to be late. I don't want to be holding anybody up. I don't want to be inconvenience anybody. It makes me feel uncomfortable if I do that. So I feel this guy's pain. I would have, if it was parents, plural, I would have been like, peace. Yep. Yeah. Sorry, dude.
See ya. They were together.
I tried. You didn't want to come. You deal with the situation. I maybe would have felt a little bad, but.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yep.
All right. Last one.
Ooh, last one. We got another one. Here we go.
Am I the asshole for refusing to pay for my girlfriend's plane ticket after she decided to stay longer on the trip without me?
Oh.
All right, folks. So here's the deal. My 28 male girlfriend, 27 female of 2 years, and I planned a 2-week vacation to Italy. Ooh. I paid for the flights, hotels, everything, because I make more than she does.
Sounds real nice.
Yep. Very generous. Can I be his girlfriend?
And I wanted it to be stress-free. Everything was great until the last day when she tells me she wants to stay longer to, quote, bind herself and think about our relationship without me.
What? After he just paid for this trip for you, you want to think about the relationship? Like, what does that mean?
She didn't discuss this with me beforehand, and it completely blindsided me. I was hurt, and I told her that if she feels she needs time alone, then she should be independent financially during this extension of her trip as well.
Or do it back in the States, man.
I said I wouldn't be paying for her new return ticket whenever she decides to come back. Now she's upset, calling me unsupportive, selfish, and some of her friends are saying I'm being an asshole because I left her stranded in a foreign country without financial help.
That was her choice.
That was her choice.
So Reddit, am I the asshole for refusing to pay for her plane ticket home when she chose to extend her trip without any heads up?
No, absolutely not.
No. I have nothing else to say.
Just no.
No. It's ridiculous.
You are not the asshole. I can't believe that she would think that it's okay to expect your boyfriend to pay for this altered plan of hers to... It's just ridiculous.
After
it's
paying just for a full 2-week trip to begin with.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing.
No one has ever paid for a full 2-week trip for me ever in my entire life.
Nope.
Ever.
Nope.
No.
Not even myself.
I know.
I mean, we got close, man. We got close, but
yeah,
2 weeks is a long time.
So there are some updates, but there was some initial comments. Not the asshole. She can find herself on her own dime. That's reasonable and fair. You've been supportive. You paid for the whole damn trip. You didn't complain or become difficult. You respected her decision to stay in. Find herself. Supportive doesn't necessarily mean you pay for her choices.
True.
Okay. So I'm going to pick apart this update a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it.
Thank you, everyone, because this happened 10 months ago.
Okay.
All
right.
So thanks for all that responded, especially the early ones who gave me some outside verification on probably not being the asshole. I don't feel comfortable saying I'm completely blameless here because you're only getting one side of the story and I need to take responsibility for the whole thing.
See, having that insight,
that's fair.
That, I think, means a lot.
Mm-hmm. So here's the update. We're both back in America now and she's packing her shit to go stay with her family for a bit until she can find a new place. Soon after I posted, it was time to go to the airport. So I did without her.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that arrives early because I never think I'll get to the gate in time because everything that could go wrong will go wrong. It never does, but especially with how I was feeling, my luck was going, I didn't want to push it.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
I was there for about an hour by myself, mulling things over and talking to my mom. I looked at a couple responses to this post, but I didn't trust that I wouldn't lose it if I started responding. And I definitely didn't want to burst into tears while I was in the airport. As I was talking to my mom, my girlfriend showed up.
Oh, at the airport.
At the airport. I guess she thought I was bluffing, but had a rude awakening when the hotel staff kicked her out of the room because I'd only paid through that day.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
I took no small amount of satisfaction in this, not going to lie. She'd been so concerned about the plane ticket that she didn't even stop to think about where she was going to stay.
Yeah.
You kind of need that.
I haven't finished this yet, but I was thinking that she had something
lined up,
which I can see. As many of you guessed, she met someone while we were in Italy.
I didn't guess that.
You know, I had a brief flicker of
I mean, isn't that kind of a bit of the American dream
fetish?
Fetish, maybe fetish is a better word because they have movies,
romance
fantasy. Where they go to Italy and you meet the Italian man who sweeps you off your feet and is tanned and gorgeous. I don't know. And drinks wine.
She was quick to tell me that it was just a physical attraction and that they hadn't done anything, but she had his snap and was wanting to see if it would go anywhere. I guess that's what I get for not feeling well and wanting to stay in one night while she went out to explore.
Oh no.
Yikes.
Wow.
Womp womp.
It's just physical.
Nope.
No.
You don't stay behind in a trip for something as just physical attraction. You can be physically attracted to just about anybody.
I think she's lying to him.
I think she's lying.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
She
got scared. She realized, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
Obviously, I told her things were over between us, even though she tried to make it sound like nothing had happened. The fact was, I couldn't feel like I could ever trust her. And she said that, and B, I don't really want to be with someone who feels like it's cool to keep their options open when being in a monogamous relationship for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. The flight home was awkward as fuck. She tried really hard to give another pitch for why we should stay together on the drive home from the airport. I think as we got closer to home, reality started setting in and she realized she'd just thrown a lot away. So yeah, I'm a little jet lagged and physically, emotionally exhausted, but probably dodged a bullet on this one.
Yep. You know, he knew his worth. He's, you don't let somebody pull you around like that. That's not cool. Mm. Like, wow.
That's awful. Especially after somebody paid for you to go on vacation for that long. Not that money's everything. Like, don't get me wrong. Money's not everything. But like, I would just feel so...
And you're not owed anything because somebody is giving you a gift or a vacation. No. But I mean, if you're in a relationship for 2 years, you do kind of owe them your loyalty.
Well, right. And if they,
and fidelity.
And if they paid for a vacation for you guys to go on together, if he's not feeling well,
it's just then a you real should asshole stay in. Move.
Yes. Watch a movie. You're there for 2 weeks. You're not missing out on one night.
I mean, even if she paid for the entire thing right, and he was sick.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Stay in. Watch a movie. Cuddle
There's
up.
So much you can gain from that experience too. Oof.
Yeah. Something was clearly missing for that.
Dodged a bullet.
For sure.
Not a great relationship.
What a bummer though. That kind of puts a whole damper on that whole experience. I hope the rest of his trip was fond memories. I don't know.
Well, maybe not because she was in them. Maybe like he just brought some good wine home and can enjoy that without her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go.
So not a story.
Okay.
Oh. But... We didn't talk about that one as long as I thought we were, so I'm going to just pose this to you.
Okay.
If you have a significant other and they are going to go travel out of state, out of country, is it appropriate for that person to end up spending time or visiting with an ex?
Ooh.
I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is no. Like, no. I just think that I'm sure that there are special circumstances that if that would be okay, like if the ex was also a friend, like if they're in a good spot or something with the, like
let's say ex had like a family and was happily married and they were just going to go out for a quick coffee or something like that, like very innocent, maybe.
But like also like there's a relation, like let's say you are Matt's ex.
Okay.
And we were friends.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a relationship.
Right. I see where you're
going
with it.
We had a trusting relationship.
Right.
Then, like, you stopping by to say hi. Okay, cool.
Right.
But if there's, like, any animosity.
Right.
Between this or, like, even just, like, no trust or connection. Like, why go see an ex? It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. See, for me.
Sit right with me.
Brian. Not that he has a lot of exes or anything, or is, I think, meeting up with any exes, but Brian just knows so many people, and I think he has so many connections to so many people all the time that it's just, for me, it's like, he's always meeting up with, like, people when he's going, especially when he used to travel for work a lot, he was always mm-hmm. meeting people for supper or dinners or coffees or this, that, or the other thing, and most of the time it was males and not a lot of females, but, I don't know, it was okay for me because I just trusted him.
And
but I don't know if it was ever any exes.
I know. You don't have a whole lot of exes. The ones that I have bad blood with, even you know me. I
know
hold a grudge.
Mm-hmm.
I hold a grudge. And so like if I've got bad blood with them, then mm-hmm. no thank you. I don't appreciate that. But like, especially in our situation, the people then that you would have dated before me, I didn't even know. And you guys were like in middle school together, basically. So if you would have met up with like a middle school person you dated for a while, like that wouldn't bother me.
So the story that I had read and the topic that I'm referencing, gal, wife, is taking an overseas trip to go and visit her college friends.
Okay.
And she's going to be there for 2 weeks, and one of the evenings, they have dinner planned with ex and ex's family.
Well, I think if his family's there.
And she is going to spend the night at the guest cottage.
And the rest of the friends, or just she's visiting like, the ex and the ex's family?
Didn't say if friends were joining or not. She's headed over to visit friends.
Yeah.
But
see, that feels a little sus.
But I also think like if they were going out for dinner and him and his wife and his kids were all coming, fine, go for it. You want to hang out with them and their kids? Great. But like going and staying at the house, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. Why do you have
Unless,
to go stay?
Like, also my girlfriend that I was also like roommates with when we were overseas. That doesn't feel so weird. Then if we both are going and staying and we're going to stay in the guest room because they all invited us over. Not as weird. Like if me and you were going to go, and I don't really have any other exes, but like if we were going to go to an ex.
You had a college.
Boyfriend that wasn't Brian.
Yeah, no boyfriends for you. No visiting boyfriends.
I don't think that you would appreciate that for me.
Kidding.
I trust you. I don't really have any boyfriends besides Brian. I never dated anybody long enough before Brian. I also think that's maybe true of Brian. I don't think he ever really dated anybody like long term where I'd ever be like
where they were like, threatened love.
Enough. Maybe I don't know about it. Mm. But I think Brian and I were.
Maybe you got to get Brian on this podcast.
It also is an interesting thing. I had a friend when I told them that you were going to, I'm sorry, you're always trying to shut down these episodes and I keep on dragging it out way too long.
We have too much fun.
But when I told one of my friends that you were going with your buddy Pete on a free trip to Mexico because Pete
got President's Club
with work. Apparently that's a thing if you're in business. If you sell enough stuff, you get perks like trips, whereas
we're in the wrong business.
I know. Anyway,
we had to go to Florida.
My friend was like, what? He's going to Mexico without you? Aren't you so scared he's going to cheat on you? Aren't you so scared? Like, I could never trust my husband to go and do that. I would be so, like, that just would not fly. And it blew my mind. I was
it's like a good bro trip for us to, like, reconnect.
Okay, but here's the thing. If somebody wants to cheat on you, they're going to cheat on you no matter where they are. I'm sorry. Going to Mexico, going to Vegas with the guys. Sure, it probably makes it a little bit easier. But if somebody really wants to cheat on you or is already in that mindset, they're going to do it wherever they are.
Well, so then it makes me think, though, like how many people have this mindset of like, I would be so uncomfortable if my partner went on a trip without me because I'm scared that they're of infidelity.
I think it's dependent on the situations that they have experienced previously within their relationship.
I mean, it's true. This particular person did have a little bit of history.
Tell me
with,
later who that
is. Yeah.
You could guess.
So on that note, we're going to wrap this up.
Okay. Yep. There
it
is.
All right. Here we go.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone. Please be sure to like, follow, and subscribe.
And let us know your thoughts on YouTube or wherever. I don't know.
On all the things. We want to hear it.
All the things. And write in. Thanks.
More travel stories.
Yes. Tell us where you're
going. We like to talk about travel.
That too. We like that. Write in.
Matt's like, we're done.
We're done.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.